This presentation is on selenium. It's selenite adsorption in soils. So a little peculiar to be in the arsenic session, but I guess it's an oxyanion, so I'll proceed, I guess. For just a quick review, selenium is an essential microelement. We have elevated concentrations in agricultural drainage waters, especially in arid regions. The adsorption reactions can attenuate elevated soil solution selenium, and so selenium is a strong adsorber on the surfaces as selenite. There's different modeling approaches if you want to try to predict the transport. Typically, people use distribution coefficients in transport studies, the KDs. You can also use adsorption isotherm equations, Langmuir-Freundlich. Problem with these approaches, although they're numerically simple for the models and they're predominantly used in the models, the parameters that you generate are only valid for the conditions of the experiment. So every soil, every different pH environment, every different soil water ratio requires really a different adsorption isotherm. This is not very satisfactory unless you're just curve fitting data. If you really want to predict, another option potentially is surface complexation models, because these have some thermodynamic significance. Presumably you have some insight about the mechanism, you can predict the effects of pH and potentially different competitive ions. Among these, you have the constant capacitance model, you have the triple layer model. And I'm going to talk about the constant capacitance model. And again, these have some molecular features. Not to say that we necessarily know those specific configurations, but at least has the potential to be more broadly applicable than those empirical models. Just quickly, the selenium speciation, we have some pK values, so 2.46, 7.3. Second pK falls right in the middle of most waters that would be used for irrigation, natural systems, we can say in the western United States, especially under elevated CO2 in the subsurface. That's maybe a little bit higher pH than that second pK, but you still have dealing with potential multi-species. In terms of the mechanisms, just a quick review of this as I go into the modeling approach, what species to select for the modeling. Selenite is considered to adsorb specifically inosphere surface complexes. There's evidence for monodentate and bidentate selenite species, and iron oxides, aluminum oxides, manganese oxides, montmorillonite. You can see the references there, the different XFs and ATR studies that have been done. So basically, monodentate, bidentate selenite surface complexes. What we're going to do is, rather than individually predict or fit the adsorption envelopes, and we've done this also for boron and molybdenum species, we're going to try to create some generalized parameters based on soil properties. We can't afford to be individually fitting each and every soil and doing extensive adsorption envelopes and isotherms on each soil. So we're going to characterize suites of samples. We selected a range of soils, a range of cation exchange capacities that you can see there, a range of surface areas, inorganic carbon, so calcite from no calcite to 6.3%, organic carbon, again a common range, certainly for arid zone soils, free iron oxides, aluminum oxides, and of course a pH range we're going to run the experiment. This represents a rather wide range of soil conditions, and the hope is by characterizing that surface of conditions representing them, we can predict for individual soils. So the objectives are to apply the model to describe selenite adsorption, and we're going to use both monodentate and bidentate, at least initially, and then relate the selenite adsorption to these easily measured chemical parameters that I described, such as surface area, inorganic carbon, aluminum oxide content. Then we're going to evaluate the ability of the model to predict selenite adsorption on soils using the constants determined from the soil properties. So we're going to use soils that have been outside of the individual set that was used to develop the model. I'm also going to use a jackknifing procedure to predict the sample that's not included, pulled out, and then resampled. So the experimental method, this is just pretty standard, a batch system, looking at adsorption envelopes as a function of pH. You take 1 gram of soil and you add it to 50 mils in solution, and you equilibrate 0.1 molar sodium chloride, and then we selected 20 micrograms per liter of selenite, and you adjust the pHs, react the samples for 2 hours, centrifuge, pH filter, and analyze for selenium. In terms of the modeling, so the constant capacitance model was fit to the selenite adsorption envelopes. So first, for each soil type, the model is optimized and fit, and we're going to select both monodentate and bidentate, but the model fits were superior by goodness of fit criterion when monodentate selenium species were used alone, actually degraded by using the multi-site. One selenite surface complexation constant was optimized along with the surface protonation constant. So optimizing two surface constants for each and every soil, and you can see the fits that we get. You might expect these are now a fit on individual soils. You get a real good fit there, and I'll show a variety of soils. These are the arid zone soils: Arlington, Diablo, Fallbrook, Pachapa, Wasco, Yolo. Again, you can see you fit the envelopes fit quite well for each soil. Plotted two soils here on each curve, and their behavior is quite a bit different in terms of pH. And again, we can predict these. We can fit these individually. Now, also looked at some Midwestern soils. And again, you can see differences, and you can see that each one of these is fit quite well in terms of the individualized parameters. So this is just individual soil fitting. So now the object is to look at the soil properties of all those soils and then try to predict not the adsorption, but the constants used in the adsorption model. So we're going to predict the two values, the K plus and K SE. And again, using a regression analysis, the constants in the model are fit, that we generated in that first set, are now fit based on the soil properties. So again, we fit the prediction equations, and then we're now going to predict based on those regression equations, now use those regression fits just using soil properties alone, see if we can predict the selenium adsorption, the selenite adsorption, based on those soil properties with a different set of soils. And for instance, selenite adsorption predicted on 5 soils, not used to develop the predicted equations. So first we're going to look at some completely different soils here, not part of the predictive set. And that, I think you can agree, allows for an independent evaluation. Then we're going to look at a jackknife procedure. And that's a standard statistical procedure where you pull one sample out, you rerun the fitting parameters, so you didn't use that one sample. You can do these one at a time for the whole data set. Pull one sample out, you recalculate all the parameters without that sample, and then you go back in and then you predict on that one sample. And again, that's a realistic assessment of the true predictive capability of the models. And we obtain good agreement between the ordinary predictions and the jackknife estimates, suggesting a predictive capability of the regression model. And I'll show you some of the results of that now. These are the jackknife predictions. You can see here, and I'm going to compare them to the individual soil predictions. Do a pretty good job with these. You can see they're not quite as good as the other fits. The Wasco and the Yolo look pretty good. But for example, the Arlington, the Bonsall, it's off a little bit. You can see the predictions are up here, and the soils are a little bit under, so we're over-predicting a little absorption. So here's the side-by-side fits, and here you can see these are the model fits individually, and these are the jackknife predictions. So all of these predictions are based on the regression parameters to the inputs without any consideration of the actual adsorption data from that soil. And you can see again, for these we get very good predictions. Not quite as good as the individual models, but certainly quite good when you consider that pH dependence, the ability to use this for transport models, it's quite satisfactory. Now we look at the Midwestern soils. So these are all in the same data set. We've got a wide range of conditions. Again, if you look at these are the jackknife predictions. These look very good. Again, you get a whole range of different conditions. The Pratt soil hardly absorbs. You get others such as the Osage and Pond Creek. You can get some high absorption. And we also have, I should point out, data A, data B. We've got different layers of those soils, A and B horizons. Again, when we compare the fits, the individual fits and the jackknife prediction fits, you can see there's only a slight degradation in the predictive capability between these two sets. So we're still doing a very good prediction just based on the soil properties and inputting those to the model. Again, it's a function of pH, predicting a wide range in adsorption capacity between the soils and also representing that pH dependence. And here we have another Dennis B soil, data and model fit with a steep drop-off. Now there were some soils where the predictions were not quite as good. We weren't able to do the simulations completely. In part, the heavily calcareous soils, the ones that have a lot of calcite in them, such as Imperial and Holtville, for example, you really can't run the experiment at low pH because you dissolve all the calcite out of them. So in the first set of experiments, trying to do it with sodium hydroxide, in the absence of a high carbonate control, you really can't go below pH 5. So removing the calcium carbonate from the soil, rerunning the soils, which is what was done in this case, and then going back and fitting it as if it was a non-calcareous soil, you see that we can represent them to some reasonable degree. But again, we can't generate the whole envelope for highly calcareous soils. So to discuss the results then, in terms of the conclusions, we can use the constant capacitance model to describe selenite adsorption as a function of pH on soils from 36 soil series. That's pretty standard. I mean, that's just being able to do the individual fits. But we can use the predictive equations to predict selenium adsorption as a function of solution pH on the soils. I'd say semi-quantitatively, probably almost quantitatively in most of those that you could see. So this will enable us, again, like we've done with boron and selenium, to do a reasonable, accurate prediction of selenium, in this case, adsorption, desorption, under environmental conditions applicable for transport modeling without having to go through and measure the adsorption isotherms on those soils. We're just using the common soil properties that are available from the descriptions in the literature, plus the surface area number, and then fitting those with regressions to the constant capacitance parameters, then running the constant capacitance model to generate the specific adsorption. So we preserve that chemical significance of the species. In terms of impact, again, we're going to be able to predict under different soil conditions. We've tested 36 of them, different chemical conditions. I'd say the one remaining thing really is going through more thoroughly and looking at competitive adsorption processes. And again, we can then apply this to scenarios of agricultural and environmental importance, including soils and waters of elevated selenite due to mineral dissolution mining activities, and look at the transport of that. Thank you.
Could you? Any questions?
Yes?
The team has done this for arsenic and boron and lithium and now selenium. By now, I would guess we should know the soil parameters influencing oxygen ion transport and soil pretty well. And so, to what extent have the parameters? individual binding characteristics of the AI. All the other general soil characteristics, can we assume generically across the model across?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's a good point. We are dealing always with the same parameters. Quantitatively, they get tweaked individually for the different oxyanion species, but it's always the iron aluminum oxides, the inorganic carbon, the organic carbon, and the surface area. And basically, producing and constructing a model from those parameters, you can predict the absorption.
And they ought to be generic.
They've worked for a large range of soils that we've tested, but it's still within 36. I'm not going to say it works for everything.
No, my point is, based on the previous studies that have already been done with arsenic and molybdenum and boron, were the same 36 soils used in those studies?
Predominantly it was the same. It wasn't exactly the same in all cases, but we've tended to work with a large range of soils that we have characterized. So they're not an independent subset.
Any other questions? Time for lunch, I guess. I would like to thank all the presenters for the extremely informative session, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you.